Blog Talk Radio.
This is how we do it.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing tonight, fans, ladies, gentlemen? Got some hot topics for you. Y'all get with us. Stay with us. Stay tuned. Call in.
Awesome. And our other co-host, Coach Lauren D. Smith.
Good evening, everybody. Happy to be back with you this Wednesday. Got some good things to discuss tonight. Calling in with the call-in number so you can talk back with us.
Awesome. Thank you. Favorite radio personality, coach of the airwaves, Coach Darrell E-Train Elliott.
Evening, everybody. Thank you for being part of the show. Let's get it started. Let's dive on in. Let's go.
All right, that's awesome. We want to get it started. Like I said, we're going to focus on the NCAA March Madness and the high school basketball championship final. Again, last week we didn't get an opportunity. You know, that again, we had a tragedy in our schools, and we want to make sure we take time for a moment of silence for the young lady in Birmingham at Huffman High School in Birmingham, Alabama. Was accidentally, they say, shot in the school, as well as one of our classmates, which was a 17-year-old boy. And we just want to take about 30 seconds just to be silent and do that. All right, let's get with the show. You know, there are so many things happening in sports. As you said, why Talking Sports Plus? Because, you know, we just don't talk sports. We talk way beyond what the normal talking heads talk about. We add the plus to it. That's the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle schools in the southeastern part of the United States. So the question is still, why? Why? Because we give you a whole different outlook in regards to sports. So we're going to actually get started with our show tonight, but we're going to give you the call-in number. So we make sure you call in 347-857-4192. And if you want to hear us by web link, you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LDAlberto Smith Production. And you can hear the show, and you can tune in, and you can enjoy what we're going to talk about tonight. All right, my co-host, we just want to make sure we get started talking about this NCAA March Madness. we had Selection Sunday on this past Sunday. And one of the things that came out of Selection Sunday from the talking heads and the pundits was the right team didn't get in. So our topic we're going to first talk about, should the tournament pool of NCAA March Madness include more than 6-8 teams? And I want us to jump in and share our thoughts in regards to that, and then we'll move from that point to other thoughts and other ideas we have in regards to sports in the southeastern part of the United States. All right. Are we still there? Have I lost my people?
No, I'm still here.
We're here.
Okay, let's go with it. We're going to jump in, right? Let's jump on in. Jump in, both feet. Let's go with it.
Go ahead, Lauren.
I think the tournament, it has the correct number of teams in it. We don't need to add any more teams to it. In my opinion, it's already too long. Tomorrow I will be watching TV all day long, Friday all day, Saturday all day, Sunday all day. It's already an all-day process. So for you to say we're going to add 4 to maybe 6 more teams to it, it's really too long. It's a lot of stuff to be watching. It's a lot of basketball, but still, in my opinion, it's a lot of stuff to be watching. So, no, keep the team, keep them out they have now. Don't bother it. If you didn't get in, that's not their fault. So,
all right, let me dive in. I agree totally with Coach Lauren Smith right there. I feel like if you add more teams, it waters down the talent in the tournament. So, therefore, I think they got it right. But like she said, it's too many games right now, and it waters down the talent. Like, it's a lot of teams when you go to add 4 and 8 more teams, it waters down the tournament so far as the talent level. Because it's a lot of teams now that have made this 6-8 pool this year that I see that's watered down talent. I'm wondering how did they get in there.
So what is the numbers and what is the matrix and makeup and why 68 teams? Would it be better and beneficial if we went with the other direction with the question? Should it be less teams? Because Lauren made a good point. It's a weekend of watching TV. And are 68 teams worthy in being in this tournament? Should it be 48 teams instead? That's the question that I pose back to you guys.
Right.
Okay, and let me jump in with that. Now, we know the format, the criteria, how it's set up. 32 teams automatically get a bid to the tournament. That's for each one of the conference. Their tournament champion gets in. But you have a situation where you have the at-large team, which you're talking about, 36 more teams get an opportunity where they may be regular season champions. Maybe they had an outstanding quad one and quad two, and they should be included in there. So how are we going to whittle it down? Because it started off with a small number and eventually increased because of the number of Division One schools that you have that is part of the division, the NCAA Division One, and it's including historical black colleges. They Division One as well. So is it good to include them? You do include them based on them winning their tournament, but is it good just like every other conference get a chance to get their regular season champion in there, and that's not happening. And I'm kind of looking at it that way because we have to look at it because we're focused. We're the plus. So we're talking about historical black colleges and universities. Is it expanding it more, get a chance to get more black colleges in it, or would it give them opportunity? I just want to see, like each one of you said, you know, there's too many teams, or what, bring it down. But we know 32 of them get automatic bid. Now, the question is when you're selecting those 36, Tell me what you think about that 36. Do we need to continue to get a team that even though they didn't get the winning tournament, they still be in the NCAA tournaments? So my point is it a need? Do we need to go beyond 32? And we want to talk about that for a minute.
I feel like you do have to go more than 32 because basketball is basketball. People are going to miss shots. A lot of people going to make shots. Night in, night out. Weak teams can sometimes get you. So I can't judge a team solely by what they did one night. You have to judge teams solely by what they did all season, the consistency level of the team. Do we need more SWAC teams or MEAC teams or HBCUs? I think we at our limit right now. This year, I don't recollect any SWAC team being Division I team. So, you know, I look at Texas Southern going out here making noise. They went 0-13 against, you know, top-tier D1 teams. Now, this has been an unlikely year that I haven't seen it much, but I think we're doing good with the one SWAC team or one HBCU team coming out of East Conference. Now, I do think we need to open the door more to the other HBCU conferences, like throw the SEAC in there, throw the CIAA in there. I really think, because it's no different between the CIAA and the SWAC to me in basketball.
I think we're at our limit for when it comes to HBCUs getting in the tournament. I think we just have to actually prove that we can play. That goes back to what Coach Edwards said. If we're scheduling teams before we start conference play and we're not beating them, it's almost like, okay, so when we put you in a tournament, you're gonna get bounced the first game. I don't think the committee wants to see that. I think they want the conference champions to go ahead and represent their conference. So I personally don't want to see any more HBCUs in the NCAA.
Before we move forward, we're going to get our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And any other discussion on whether or not there should be more teams in there, less teams. Because I want to kind of add a little topic to it, but there's any other discussion before we move forward. Would a added, what you say, A and B to that statement right there?
I just want to know why don't you want to see more HBUs, historical black colleges in the tournament? I need to hear why not. Is it the level of talent? Or what?
Yeah, it's the level of talent. It's the level of talent, and that's not a kid's fault, but it's the level of talent.
If you say that opens up a whole other story for me. I gotta bring this out, but I'll bring it out next show. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Since just hold that thought, let me kind of add something to it. I know it was a brief discussion, and I want us to kind of talk about it a little bit. There's a little, I think, Coach Everett, you shared about we going, like Texas Southern went 0-13 at other places. My question is it an advantage to the up where you got to go to everybody else plays and get bit to sleep? Why can't you have that same team come to your place, give you maybe a small advantage that you might beat them? And my question is, when we start off, we play those games, but we got to play at their place. Why can't they come to our place? And I don't care what people say. You're Division I. You pay the same amount of money as Alabama and Auburn and Historical Black College to be a part of Division I. You pay the same fee. So my point is, because they choose not to come play you, and then you get beat to sleep at their place, can they just flip-flop that and sometimes come to those historical black colleges, then sometimes it won't be. It might not be because you take, for example, we'll go look at the support from the black colleges. We talk about the alumni. You know, some stadiums do set about 20,000. If you bring in a major, constantly bring in a Division I, play everybody, you know, home-and-home basis, you can have just as many people, then you can have the advantage of having home court as well. So I'm saying, is it because they're going to play these teams at their places, and they go beat them to sleep at their places? How about put that stipulation, maybe the NCAA said, well, okay, you have to go to these other schools instead of having them come to you and you beat them to sleep. Because I think if Texas A&M may have got them at their own place, half of them teams, their record would be 0-13. That's just my thinking. I want us to kind of discuss it. I want us to jump in quickly on that before we move to the next topic.
Coach, I would be the first to tell you that that is an excellent idea, and they need to share the love and the wealth. Too often, the elitist attitude happens at all levels in sports, and I think when it comes to HBCUs, they're always pulling the short straw. And yeah, I agree. That needs to happen, and that needs to be taken to the NCAA and debated. And perhaps even brought to fruition. That's what I had to say about that.
That's a small debate because the NCAA is based solely on money. Based solely on money. As far as that right there, dealing with a HBCU with a high quality, and that's what we got to look at, a high quality D1 teams like that that you're going out to play. They will never stoop to that level to come to HBCU. I have yet to see it yet. Now, I seen it a couple of years back with Auburn coming to, you know, Alabama State, but I have never yet to see a Duke or a North Carolina go to North Carolina Central. I have never seen that. So I think the NCAA getting money off of that. That's what I got with that situation.
You know, and I'll tell you this, you never saw Barack Obama being president until he became president, or Donald Trump. I think it can happen. And I think with the right people in the right mix and the right influence, some things can happen. You know, sometimes tragedy even brings opportunity. And not that I would want to see something tragic happen, but at the same time, you can have the right person say the right thing at the right time, and that can happen. This world is built on that. Back to you, Coach.
And another question that goes on to that, why do we play these big D1 schools? That's the next question you got to ask. If we didn't have to pay them for the money, we wouldn't pay them.
Okay. And let me jump in right there if y'all would. Truly, that's the main reason they said they play there. But I was kind of surprised when I looked and saw the MEAC had three teams in the NCAA tournament. They had a team in the CIT, which is the College Insider Tournament, which was North Carolina A&T, with a record of 17-12. Then we had Hampton, who won the MEAC because they lost a tournament to North Carolina and North Carolina Central. They was in the NIT. And then you have North Carolina Central, who won the tournament, and all of them record was 19-15. Why is the SWAC? Because it's only the SWAC. Because up top, that's three teams from one conference. Only one team came from the SWAC to play in the postseason. So the question, why are they record like that, and why is the SWAC record like that? Is it really all about their money? What are they doing where they don't have the same problem that the Alabama States have and the Texas Southern, where you got to go play these teams and get beat to sleep? I don't know. I want to know. I like to pull the schedule up and look at each one of those schedules, like North Carolina Central, and see who they played Division I. Because they played Division I team, and they beat somebody Division I. So that's why all three of them was in the tournament. So let's think about that. Why they got three teams in the postseason NCAA tournament Division I, and the SWAC only had one? Is it because of their record? Is it money worth sacrificing your opportunity to get your team into the NCAA, get more than one team in the NCAA tournament? That's the question I like for us to try to look at as well.
I'm going to say yes, in some cases in the SWAC. If you go to a SWAC game other than – I'm going to give you all a little clout right here. Alabama State. I see a total of probably 200 people at the game. I attend the game with Dr. Smith, Alabama State versus A&M. They said it was sold out. We got there. It probably was if the gym seated 5,000, it looked like 2,500 people were there. And like you said, when it comes to the MEAC, they play a lot of small black schools, a lot of small black schools. I was talking about that earlier this year with one of my partners about the MEAC schedule and the SWAT schedule. SWATs are playing top-tier Division I schools, top-tier. Like you're going to see Missouri, Tennessee consistently on the schedule. Alabama, you see them consistently on a lot of SWAT team schedule. On MEAC, you see a lot of the Edward Waters, Martin Methodist, a lot of those schools like that. So their record is going to look better. But as far as the lack of talent on the floor, as you saw today, Texas Southern wiped the floor with North Carolina Central. It could have easily been 40 points. Easily. Easily. Yeah, the level isn't even close to me. So their records look good, but they're not playing top-tier talent.
And kind of add that to this, North Central was a tournament champion. Where it would have been because Notre Dame and Hampton was a little bit closer. If you ever watched, you saw that game. Hampton is a champion of the regular season. They just so happened to lose in the tournament. So would you have a more competitive game if you had a true regular season champion who had only lost about two games in the MEAC? So my question is that the best comparison? Because that's not really, truly, truly your best team. It's a team that got hot and won the tournament. So I think we're kind of looking at it that way, and we should just kind of look at it a little different. That wasn't it. Because Hampton, I believe, would have made a beat Texas Southern because they got a much better team than so what I'm saying, that's where we're watering this thing down. We're watering this thing where we're just taking the champions who get hot in a tournament when they really not the champion. A team get hot, and the champion would have gave a better opportunity. So maybe it's possible to make sure that we get those teams in there a little earlier. I just want something to be a little better because I can't go with this 0-13. And your reason for playing, you're going to be everybody homecoming queen. If you get one of them two or three of them teams to come in your stadium, you can pack that stadium because you can't tell me when Alabama State played Mississippi State in baseball, coming up in River this in April, I guarantee you'll be a full a place out there. You know what I'm saying? And they coming to Montgomery. So I'm saying, can we get those teams to these stadiums, and you can make just as much money because you can fill your stadium because people will pay it. It's a 1-3 time deal. So I'm gonna throw it out like that. It's just a thought process. But we're gonna move on. If the co-host will allow me to move on, let's move to another topic because it's very important that we get our topics in. But we also have great discussion. You can call in at 347-857-4192. We look forward to you talking with us, sharing your thoughts on this. All right, let's move to our next topic, and that is should the national championship March Madness to be implemented, should be a championship for the mid-major teams, such as Middle Tennessee, Troy, those Sun Belt teams. Should it be something, including the SWAC, should it be a national championship for them instead of them going up there and pick your 40 teams of Big Division One? Because I don't think it's fair when you got a team like Villanova playing a number 16 team. That's a waste of time. Why don't you play in the number eight? Maybe you play number eight. See how long you go when you got to play the best team. So that's what it should be, the best team, not get you ready to get you all the way to the final game. For example, Auburn playing College of Charleston. If they win, then they play Clemson. Man, that ain't nobody you playing. Let's talk about that. Should they implement some type of a mid-majors national championship? Maybe a Division I AA, that's what we'll call it. Let's get our thought on that.
I dive in first on this one, guys.
Okay.
That's your push right there. That would get your SWAT schools in there right there if they do a mid-major tournament. I'm with you right there. But as far as them doing the 64 or 68, your SWAT MEAC schools will always be left outside because their resume isn't appealing. And like you said, that Texas Southern you know, they was won the tournament. Texas Southern wasn't the one, number one team in the SWAC this year either now.
Nope.
Let's say that
nope.
too now.
Nope. So, I agree 100%. I just only think that Texas Southern will be considered to be the best team out of the group because we know their level of play, even though Arkansas Pine Bluff played well. But I just think in the end, teams like that aren't constantly there every year, like Texas Southern. They're not going to be able to understand that thing. So they were the best team. The best team, I think, would, not based on record, based on their performance and their traditional performance. They held up to the tradition. So that was the best team. But I don't think North Carolina Central was the best team from the MEAC to represent. Then, all right, let me get, because I got something else I'm going to throw in there. We're talking about the mid-majors having a national championship, not just a historical black school, black colleges. We talking about Middle Tennessee. We were talking about any team that fought Liberty University that's mid-major because they're not getting but one team in a tournament. So should we have a national championship, maybe called Division I AA, just like you got the Division I, and let give them a chance to move, advance, just like they were talking about in football with University of Central Florida? Let me get some more discussion on that.
I think it should be a national championship for mid-major schools. But when you discussing that, now we have to go and we have to say, okay, are we going to cut the season shorter? Are we going to start the season early? Are we going to get rid of some of these unnecessary games so we should play the important games first so that they can have the conference championship and maybe they can start that, the national championship of mid-majors, can they start that a little earlier? So it was, my whole thing is, it's going to be so much stuff on TV that you're going to miss a lot of good games. So if you do the national championship for mid-majors 2 weeks before the NCAA tournament, that gives people time to watch that and then be ready for something else. Because I can tell you one thing, basketball can be draining to watch all day, every day, every other day. It can become draining to watch the fans, the coaches, the players, to anybody. So my whole thing would be like with the scheduling of that, but I think that would be a good idea.
Okay. I'll dive in right there, Dr. Smith. All right. I'm with Lauren right there. I agree that they would, it would have to be a time frame within what you wanted to do. As far as the mid-majors, like Middle Tennessee, which shot some teams every year in the tournament, Murray State, which shot some teams every year in the tournament, I think they would dominate a mid-major tournament, like Detroit State. I think they'll dominate that just as far as the athletes they're getting because they're not too far off of the Dukes in North Carolina. They're getting top-tier talent. So I think we'll be in the same boat, but it's giving them a chance. So I'm with you right there.
And that's the only challenge that and the only thing that everybody wants to have the same equal chance because, again, those schools, regardless whether they're historical black colleges or university, they are Division I schools like they pay the same amount of money at Auburn, Alabama. So that's what it's not a 1AA, and that's what I'm saying. You're not giving them a chance. There's another discussion before we go to that discussion. We're going to be sort of like in the same area because we're talking about the NCAA March Madness. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. We want you to call in when you want to add to the conversation. We'll ask you to press 1, then we'll identify your last 4 digits of your telephone number, and then we'll ask you to come on and state who you are and where you are. Now, just to kind of add, I was listening pretty much to the coach of North Carolina Central today, as well as John Thompson III. And he was talking about there was an agreement, that's a written agreement, that with the NCAA selection committee, that it should never be two historical black colleges playing each other in a play-in game. I want your thoughts on it because there is a written agreement. But this year they did it, and now you probably eliminate both of them in the first round, but they playing each other. So only one will get the pot, whereas it would be a separate pot. It was two different things. I don't mean one get the pot, but, you know, that was the agreement. And I just want some thoughts on that. What do you think about that when there's already a written agreement saying they don't ever supposed to have two historical black colleges playing against each other in the play-in game of historical March Madness? So I just want to get some thought from the co-host.
I'll go ahead.
Okay.
So you had North Carolina Central playing Texas Southern today, and Texas Southern blew them out. So
yep.
Texas Southern can celebrate one win because we all know Friday they're going home. So what's the point? If they play each other, one's going to win, but whoever wins, it's noted that you're not going to win the next game. It's very rare that you win the next game. So, I mean, get rid of that rule, get rid of that agreement. It makes no sense because if you're going to do the first four play-in and you make these mid-major schools, you make them play the first four play-in games, of course you're going to have HBCUs playing each other. So that's a play-in game. So, I mean, I really don't understand. I think they need to do away with that agreement. So...
Can someone tell me the nature of that agreement? Is it because to extend the teams, perhaps to give them a longer chance to stay in?
I would say that was some of the thought process in the agreement that with the Black College Association, Coaches Association, that they would never put, they would either put one of them in a playing game and the other one would automatically go in to the 16th slot at one of those, or 15th slot of one of those regions. That was just, and it's been like that pretty much in the past. It's been, because I know one of those schools, I can't think of the name of it, but they was 15th seed. One of the historical black schools out of MEAC was 15 seed, but always seen, and then Alabama State, I'm thinking back, Texas Southern has been that 16 seed, but they ain't been in the playing game. But they had never played each other. So that was the agreement to make sure, and maybe there was some discussion, thought that would be the greatest idea, but there is some backlash and some talking being presented by the American Black College Association coaches saying that that's the agreement and you're going to hold to the agreement. So because we pay our money just like y'all pay our money. Now, that's my understanding from the discussion by John Thompson and LaBelle Holton and several other black college coaches. So we can carry that discussion on.
I have another question.
Yes.
Sorry, just so I can get an understanding.
No.
So is it the temperament of this conversation? Because I'm listening to Coach Smith, and I'm hearing you, but I'm trying to find out, is it even worth it to have these colleges in this at all?
Good question.
Is it worth it even to have them in this? Because it seems like what you guys are saying, and if correct me if I'm wrong, that they are just whipping sticks and they don't have the caliber of talent to even be in this.
Exactly.
Am I on a page here?
Coach? No, you're on the same. You're on the right page, and I think that's what it's saying. You know, we're gonna let, cause you pay your money, we're gonna let you play, but you're never gonna ever get no farther than the play-in day or the first day. Whether you know, anybody can be beat on any day. And the less chances of a team that is on that higher level getting beat by one of these mid-majors is to keep you as far as down the bottom of it as possible. And if you're a historical black college and university, you're even farther down. So my thing is, as you're asking there, yeah, there are the whipping. They eliminate them early, get them out of there, so they, you won't have to ever worry about that ever happening. My question is that the way it should be? Are we comfortable with that the way it is? Or should we just get off of Division I and just go to Division II, or either create the mid-majors, like in football, the FCS? What should we do if we're going to get an equal opportunity at the cash prize? Because it don't look like we're going to ever get it, because they're telling us, by the way it's set up, you're not equal to us, but we're going to let you play to make you happy, like, you know, you keep you content. So that's a discussion, and that's a good question that you asked, Darryl, but that's basically what it is. And we can have some other thought and discussion on it.
Yeah,
Trey.
Can I make a thought with that one? Darryl, you have to put them in there. As history shows, we can beat them. We can beat them. I mean, even if it's one out of 100, we have won that 15 versus 2 when Hampton played Duke. I mean, they won that game. When Southern, who that was back in 91, 92?
Georgia Tech.
When Southern.
Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Southern beat Georgia Tech. So we can beat them. We can't just not put them in there. We cannot just not put the SWAT team in there. And like you said, like with I'm a flip sports right quick with Central Florida, you know, saying they are the national champions too. If they were qualified, put them in there. Put them in there to see what they can do against, you know, a top tier talent. Because like you said, the committee going off the strength of schedule. And they won, you know, they won excited. They won wild by their schedule. So that's why they didn't get in the Final Four right there. But as far as the basketball, that's our best shot. So we gotta play in it. Because a SWAT school playing against an Alabama or an Auburn, I don't ever see that happening, that we'll get ahead right there. Because I have never seen it happen to a top-tier team as far as a FCS team.
Exactly. And Trey is talking about basically in the football area. But as you know, we already said that it has happened with basketball. It happened with a 15 seed, beating a 2 seed in two different occasions. Maybe you look back, it's probably others, but we can name those two. So it can happen a little bit quicker, faster in basketball than it is in football, because a lot of times you depend on how you build your team and where you play that team. I still say, if we can take some of these schools that don't play basketball very well, that are Division I out of their complex, and you come to us and we pack it in home court, you have something to do with it. And if you got decent talent, you will beat them to sleep. But they don't want that to happen. They don't ever want that to happen, because that won't look good. That's why they won't play it. But that's a whole other day and a topic, and we'll get with that another day. Let's kind of move our thoughts to looking at the North Carolina, whether they can repeat as national champions in 2018. And Coach Everett, I know it's your favorite team. And I want you to jump in on that, Coach Everett. Be the first one, then we'll get everybody else in there.
I want you to be realistic, Coach Everett.
You ain't got to worry about me being realistic, Lauren. No, I don't think we have enough. I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna be political about it. When the big we had left, the freshman last year, the 6'11" freshman, when he left, when he committed to the NBA draft, our season for the next year went down the drain with him. Now, will we get to Sweet 16, Elite 8? I think we have a chance. But when it comes to them old, well-developed team, the Virginia, the Villanovas, the Xaviers, where you had them fifth-year seniors and stuff in them, we don't have a chance. No chance at all. But so my answer to your question is, North Carolina will not repeat as the national champions.
Okay. Coach Lord?
Okay, I agree with Coach Edwards. North Carolina will not repeat. He said Elite Eight. Elite Eight. We'll say Elite Eight, but I really see Sweet 16. From what I saw last week when they played Duke came back on them, and I continue to say that if it was 2 minutes left in that game, I believe Duke would have won. In my opinion, they don't have enough offensive consistency to get through that grueling 2 or 3 weeks. Because not only are you playing, but you're traveling, you're practicing, you have media, you're watching other people play. It's a lot of stuff going on. So I don't think they have that team to go back and repeat. Not on the backs of Joel Berry, Luke May, Theo Pinson. Not with that core right there. No, they do not have what it takes to repeat.
Let me interrupt that right quick, Coach Smith. Both
okay.
of the Smiths.
All right.
tell me this. What type of player did y'all think Garrison Brooks was coming out of Auburn High School? And I'm going to tell you what I think. Go ahead.
I barely saw him, Lord, not to cut you off. I didn't even know he was going to North Carolina. So it wasn't nothing that caught my attention because I didn't think he was the best big man around here anyway. Cause I thought the Reese boy was up at Spain Park or one of those schools up in Birmingham was may have been the best big man. So I can't have, but I'm gonna allow Coach Smith to kind of add some thought in regard to Garrison Brooks at Auburn High School when he played at Auburn.
Garrison Brooks, when he played at Auburn, he was originally committed to Mississippi State, and
yes, ma'am.
The streets
say
some things happened, and he ended up at North Carolina. Let's just say that he didn't want to go to Mississippi State, but his dad made him go to Mississippi State, commit to Mississippi State. So when he said no and they went to Birmingham, he decommitted and said, I'm going to North Carolina, whatever. But when I saw him play, he was more of a situational big man. What I mean by that is you have to put him in a situation to score. Put him in a situation to score as a big man. He has to get offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, get out. He has to run the floor like that. He wasn't somebody I just give the ball to at the top of the in a high-low situation. He's not the high that I give and take it to the basket. He's not a guy I would put the game in his hands. That's why he was more North Carolina. I really thought he was going to take a red shirt. I did not think he was going to play. But to see him playing, he's lived up to everything that I thought he would do.
Okay. We have a call. Trey, let's hold it. We got a call on here that's want to share some thoughts. The caller with the last four digits of 5452. Caller, identify yourself and where you're located at. I think we may have lost the caller. I see they have a question here. We may have lost her, but we're going to just get back to the discussion.
Hello.
And maybe they're coming. Oh, that caller. Okay, caller, just let us know who you are, your location, and just jump in the conversation. Yes.
Hi, I'm from Mississippi, and I just want to commend you all every week for coming on and sharing your thoughts about different sports and things like that. But I do want to say that I believe our historically black colleges and universities need the opportunity to make it to the NCAA tournament because it gives an exposure. Some of the local high schools in my area, their coaches take them far and beyond just what they're used to, so you can expose those young men and women so they'll see what else is out there and increase their talent so they can play on the next level if they want to transfer. It's all about exposing them, and I can see where you all had your different points as far as they need to remain in their own little circle, but when you make the decision to compete competitively, you have to make sure that you always increase your game, step your game up, as you would say, some of the young people say. So I think it's a great opportunity to expose them, not just where they are, but to broaden their horizon so they can be successful. And I just want to thank you all for your comments every week.
All right. We thank you, Carla, for taking the opportunity to share your thoughts, and we really appreciate that. And, you know, if you want to stay on the line, you can. We hope you do. And if you want to have any other thoughts about it, just let us know through the question, the pushing of the number one on your cell, or your telephone dial, and we'll get you on the line. So we do appreciate it. All right, so since our caller shared that thought, we're going to kind of move on to some topics really in regards to this week of basketball. First, I want to ask you a question. We wait all year to get to March Madness. Is it possible we're burnt out, or we don't have the interest in basketball in March Madness because we're still thinking about football in the football area? What is it? Because it was said earlier by Coach Smith, and well, you know, Coach Everett, about, you know, people, it's just too many games on TV. But isn't this what we want? We want to see a whole lot of basketball. We don't care if it's all day and all night. Is it that we just fatigued with basketball because we saw so much football, we're still in the thoughts of football because football looks like it's about to start up again, and we ain't thinking about that? I just want our thoughts, take about 5-10 minutes to talk about our thoughts on are we fatigued with basketball, so we really don't want to see a whole lot of games.
Let me dive in first right here, guys.
Yeah.
I'm not fatigued. This is the best time of year for me. I wake up on, like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. I'm going to get to work, and I'm setting my computer straight up, straight on it. And I'm going to watch 4 games at one time. So, I'm excited. As far as the conference tournament and March Madness, is nothing like it. Nothing like it for me. Nah, that's for me.
Awesome. Goes along.
When I say I'm burnt out, this is what I mean. I'm gonna tell everybody that's listening what Coach Lauren means when she says she's burnt out and there's too many games coming on. You have to think from a coach's mindset. I coach summer travel ball, which means I coach from April to August. Okay? So April to August, I'm coaching every weekend. I'm at practice every other day. So I watch basketball nonstop then. Then we go from high school basketball, junior high basketball, from November to March, the beginning of March. I get tired of watching basketball when it comes to, I don't want to say sorry teams, but non-top 25 teams. I don't like watching it. So when it comes down to the NCAA tournament, I got to watch other teams that personally I don't think are very interesting. For example, you got Texas Southern. They're playing Xavier. Who wants to watch that? That's going to be a 60-point blowout. Or when Troy played Duke last year, who wanted to watch that? That's what I mean by burnt out. I can care less about football right now. I'm not even thinking about that, but that's what I mean when I say burnt out. I just watch basketball all the time. So those are a lot of games to be watching.
I don't think it's going to be 60 either. Texas Southern has the key factor that HBCUs don't have. They have a 7-2 center. So I think that helps them out. As far as, you know, the usual 6'5" power forwards that we usually have in the SWAC.
And let me kind of take the whole picture here and say this. If they continue with the number they have of playing, it seems like the top teams are always set up, because you, number one, you always set up to get to the Final Four. Well, you have to play teams like Texas Southern. Cut it and make everybody that's the best play against the best. That's what I'm trying to get to. And maybe basketball could be a lot more exciting. But when you are playing, Xavier playing Texas Southern, that's almost a practice game for them. You know they're going to win. One player, 16. So my question is, maybe we should cut it down and just let the best play the best. You start out playing. Zager start out playing Auburn. You see what I'm saying? And teams like that, so you can really find out who's the best. But don't give them three or four practice games before they get to automatically move into the final eight and the final four. Now they got to play hard. I want them to be a tournament where they play hard from day one because they got to play the best from day one. That's just my thought on it. My thought is to kind of break, cut it down and put those teams that are the best against them and not have these teams that you know they're going to blow out 30 points. That ain't about a practice for them. That's a homecoming queen for them. And I don't think you need to have homecoming queens in this kind of tournament. So I look at it that way. So that's why I said it needs to be cut down to the 32 or maybe 42 qualifiers and the rest of these folks playing some other tournament and still have a national championship. That's why I go back to my thought process, because you are worn out. You are tired of seeing, you know, who want to watch Xavier massacre, or I won't say massacre, but already beat Texas Southern because it's 92% say they're going to win. 80%, I mean 95% say they're going to win. The better say they're going to win. Nobody wants to sit and watch that. If you were playing that number 18 or number 19 or number 10 team, it'll be a little bit different. So, that's why when I'm going to hold my lobby on that part. But we will kind of move on. We're going to kind of move on. You know, our time, we've got a little extension in time, so we can't talk a little longer. So we're not going to completely go over the time tonight. But let's look at one last topic dealing with the NCAA, and I want us to think about it and then share our thoughts on it. What will be the biggest storyline of the first week, which is by Sunday, of the NCAA March Madness tournament? What will be the biggest storyline? I just want y'all to think about if it's upsets, if it's whatever it may be, what would be the biggest storyline?
I don't really know what to say about it. Coach Smith, and Dr. Smith, I should say, your area of expertise with this is far greater than mine when you analyze this thing. But I don't really have a takeaway. I don't really have a takeaway for this. And I apologize for not having one, because basketball to me is so enormous. And it's so issue-driven with so many things that when I watch, when I do watch, I go, I can't figure this out. So what's your takeaway?
Okay. All right. I'm going to go up and tell you my takeaway, but I'm going to let Coach Edwards share his thoughts. Then I'm going to kind of follow it up after Coach Smith share her thoughts, and I'm going to jump in and tell you what I think will be one of the big storylines. Coach Edwards.
You're going to always have upsets. So the upsets will take the top tier in the takeaways of the tournament. You have quality teams that you expect to win that will lose. If Alabama manages to get out of this round, it will be real big for the program. That's a big thing for Sunday too. Another one. Auburn will struggle. Y'all heard it from me first. Auburn will struggle with this first round game. Auburn doesn't have a legitimate bid. They will struggle with this first round game. Y'all heard it from me first. Those are my thoughts.
All right, awesome. Coach Smith?
Okay, here we go. The first couple days, which would be, I think it's from Thursday to Sunday, I see the biggest stories being Arizona losing early, Kentucky going a little further than people think they will, Tennessee going a little further than people think they will, Texas losing early. I'm not being funny, but I kind of think Georgia State might be a sleeper team. Davidson might be a sleeper team. Alabama, like we said before, if Alabama can beat Virginia Tech tomorrow night, then I think that's good enough for Alabama. So they will be a story. Duke will be a story about how they can how they can win with those freshmen plus Grayson Allen. Can Grayson Allen maintain his composure? Can he be the Grayson Allen he's been all year? Can he be that leader on the floor? I think that's going to be a big story. Auburn and their inconsistency when it comes to shooting the basketball is going to be a big story, because if they lose to Charleston, I really think Bruce Pearl might be gone. Oklahoma, Trae Young. Can Trae Young continue to carry the team that he's been carrying all year? Those are going to be my only – oh, Michigan State. How far Michigan State will? But those are going to be my only kind of
the
deep stores. I know
the
there
ship.
Are a lot of deep stores.
The ship.
If I may say, there are two teams, Michigan and Kansas. That's all I can say.
All right. Okay. Daryl, that's a good storyline, Michigan and Kansas. But my storyline is going to be focused on the biggest storyline I have this weekend is focused on a conference. The Pac-10 only have two teams in the tournament. And it's a good chance they may not have zero by Monday. Arizona State, they playing a play-in game against Syracuse. A good chance they're going to be out of here. And then you're going to have Arizona that's going to be playing. Got a good chance they may be out of that. So my storyline is even if the Pac-10 make one team make it, they'll be out next week. So that is because their numbers – they have no room. They have no room. SEC had 18. Pac-10 had two teams. So they don't have marginal room to mess up. They don't have marginal room to lose. Because if Arizona State loses tonight, that leaves Arizona. Even if Arizona make it through tomorrow or either Friday, they're going to lose Saturday or Sunday. So isn't that a storyline for the Pac-10 not having a team left in the Sweet 16 or the Final 8 or the Final 4? That is a story, and that's a major conference. So that's the biggest story I see, and I just wanted us to kind of come up with our own thought. Let's quickly, because we have time to do this, is look at some of the Florida High School Athletic Association Basketball Championship results. If you notice, the state of Florida has 9 divisions.
That really stuck out to me right there. Can you tell me
exactly
how many schools are in the 9A?
In the 9A, you have in
how
the
many
tournament.
Kids?
When you said 9A, kids up to 3,000. They have 3,000.
Okay, gotcha.
So they have three. So they have at least 20. They have more teams up on the higher level than they have down on the lower level. And they had the equal number of the normal on this side of the bracket. You had 16. You had this side, so you had 32 teams. 9A, 8A, 7A, 6A, 5A. But 4A, you start going down to 24 teams. 3A, you start going out of 24 and 2A. So, talking about that, they had their championships. And I'm going to blame this school.
I'm still on this thing.
What's that? But just to bring a little thought about Blanche Ely is one of the well-known teams in South Florida. Last year, I had a chance to watch them play, and they didn't get out of their region, and they had an awesome team then, but this year they managed to get out the region and also win the 8A state championship. And that, if I'm not mistaken, this is probably their 7th out of the last 12 years. So they're quite competitive. They won 77 over Creekside, and you had 7, and they're located in Pompano, Florida, which is about 15 miles north of Fort Lauderdale. So they play at a high level down at Black Ely. So we want to make sure we applaud Dallas schools. There are several other schools. You have Nova Southeastern University High School. They 5A, and they won a state championship. I watched them last year as well, meaning in 16-17, they had 2 or 3 kids over 7 feet tall on the team. And they play at a high level. So in Westminster Academy, and it's a small academy, but they was able to win. And then you had several Christian academies that was there. So they played some strong basketball. And one note about the 1A Wildwood, which is people never ever realize what Wildwood is when you're going to Orlando, when you get to the turnpike, there's a place called Wildwood, right at the turnpike on 75. That's Wildwood. Their boys and girls won the 1A state championship. So they're working hard down there. They have that 9 classes, and they have the champions of each one of the classes, and they come from all parts of the state. And one more thing to add with this team is that since Florida is such a big 5-square-mile state, what I mean is from the tip of Florida, which is South Florida, up to the Georgia line, that's at least 7 hours to 8-9 hours from the tip. But then you got another 4 hours over to Pensacola, which is North Florida. So they have to kind of bring their tournament and adjust their tournament. In football, for sure, everybody don't play in one play because it's too far miles. They can't all play in Central Florida because it's too far for them. So they had to have one in the Northern Division, they had to have one in the South Division. And they kind of do something the same thing in basketball. But these teams, population at these 9A's is 2,500 to 3,000 students, and that's high school only. Also, we're going to look at Georgia High School Athletic Association, but basketball championship. And probably the most well-known team out of this group is the Warner Robins. They won the 5A. And then you have Thomasville winning the 2A, which is another well-known area school that's up in Georgia. So that was some competitive games. And then I can go over each one of them. You had Metal Creek at 1-7A, Hughes 1-6A, Warner Robins at 5A, Upson Lee had the 4A, and the GACS had the 3A, Tunnelsville at 2A, and Wilkinson County had the 1A. And then they have a private school division called Class A, which is Aquinas 6-5 and St. Francis 60. High school basketball at its best. We're at the end of the show, and any other thoughts the co-host want to share before we get ready to close this out? We extended a few minutes over. I had it set up so we could. So anything you want to share in regards to what's going on with your programs, what's going on with just you, and we want you to do it, co-host.
Let me jump on in so I can jump on out. Tomorrow we need to have a conference call to talk about the tournament games. I'm really excited. Really excited about tomorrow. What else I got for y'all? Nothing's much going on in my program. I'm finna get ready to do spring training football. That's it at Chapman Middle School. But with that said, y'all have a great night.
Awesome. All right. Coach Lauren?
Okay. Tomorrow and Sunday should be pretty good days. If you don't have anything to do, I'm not saying call off work. I'm not saying do not go to school. But what I am saying is you can check out some games on TV. It's going to be on all day between TNT, PBS, True TV. Make sure you check some out. Right now, we just kicked off AAU, so I really don't have anything to report about that. One thing I have to say, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, Roll Tide, let's go, Young Bulls. Let's carry the team, man.
Awesome.
Hey, everybody. I don't have a sports program as the other two, other two coaches do, but I do have the spirit. So I'll say this. Go Hornets.
Awesome. And before our co-host, Lauren, get off, I want everybody to know that she posted that she received her acceptance letter for graduate school at Alabama A&M University, where she was installed in the fall of this year, 2018, as a graduate student in the Department of Kinesiology, So, Lauren Coastman Smith, we applaud you. We are our prayers are with you, and we say go do it. Do it for Talk Sports Radio, Talking Sports Plus, Blog Talk Radio. Go do it, Clark, and have an awesome time while you're up there at Alabama A&M. And we say congratulations to you, Lauren.
Thank you.
You are welcome. All right. Next week, we will be joining you again at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Talking Sports Plus, and we'll come with some thought about the weekend of March Madness. Yes, our show will focus on this part, talking about the NCAA March Madness. We also will not have our show tomorrow night talking real to you, but we'll come back next week. We have some special guests that are going to join us next week, so we look forward to being on next Thursday on this same call-in number, 347-857-4192, or you can go to the blog, Talk Radio, and that's blogtalkradio.com/LDAlbertoSmithProduction, and you get an opportunity to share your thoughts next week dealing with Talking Real to You. Also, we're getting ready for our Alabama Sports Festival Foundation state games that will be June 8th through 10th in Huntsville, Alabama. We're asking all the high schools and junior highs to register. The registration opened up March 1st. The cost for each team is $175. We'll be in throughout different Huntsville public school venues. That we'll be playing at, and you have trophies be awarded, medals be awarded, and the open division to qualify for the Junior Olympics that'll be taking place in 2019. So we invite you, if you want to register your team, go to www.alagames.com, and you can register your team. Make sure you put a format profile and then put each member of your team. And then at the bottom, it'll have it available for you to pay through credit card. And if you have to send it to our office, which have the information, if you have to send a certified check or either a cashier check, but we ask you to register online. If you have any problems, you can give me a call. This is Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith. I am the basketball commissioner and then tournament director for that tournament, and it's 334-301-8775. So we look forward to hearing from you on all of those situations and all those occurrences, and we're going to be with you again next week. Very excited about having this opportunity. We'll thank our caller that called in, and we thank all our listeners who may have not said anything, but they was on the call in line. We thank you. They're individuals that's devoted, that's here every week. So we do appreciate you taking the opportunity to be with us for the time frame that we're here. And we say stay with us because there's more to come. As my co-host, and I'm going to talk about two of them right quick. And the first one, as Coach Edwards stated, is this was spectacular. Wednesday was awesome. My co-host, I thank y'all very much. Y'all did an awesome job. And as the co-host that was not here, even though he was not here in present, he always leads this with us. It's Coach Tony Starwood. Take the day and don't let the day take you. You have an awesome night. We look forward to being with you next week at the same time, same number, same station. And we just want to kind of play some music, kind of wrap this thing up and say have an awesome night, because we're going to do the same.
Tonight,
we're going to end up with some good old bars. Some good old bars. 24 carats. Have a wonderful night. Good night, everybody, from Corpus Sports.
Trying to do 24 karat magic.
blue. Woo, shit. I'm a dangerous man with some money in my pocket.
Keep up.
So many pretty girls around me and they're waking up the rocket.
Keep up.
Why you mad? Fix your face. Ain't my fault they all be jacking.
Keep up.
Players only.
Come on, put your pinky ring up to the moon.
Girls,
what y'all trying to do?
24 karat magic in the air. It's so clear. Look out. Second best for the hustlers.
Hustlers.
Gangsters.
Gangsters.
Bad bitches and your ugly ass friends.
Ha-ha.
I cannot preach.
Uh-oh. Keep up.
So many pretty girls around me and they're waking up the rocket.
Keep up.
Why you mad? Fix your face. Ain't my fault they all be jocking.
Keep up.
Players only.
Come on, put your pinky rings up.